This morning, we're going into the fourth one in our series called Jesus the Christ. And this one is called King of Kings. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, and let's look at these 12 different names of Christ. But I want to start with King of Kings, which is the title of this particular message. 1 Timothy chapter 6, this is New Testament, obviously, towards the end of your Bible, 1 Timothy 6, and I'd like to start with verse 12. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word. 1 Timothy 6, starting with verse 12, and we'll read down through verse 16. Fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. You may be seated within God's Word, in this case brought to us by the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ sits as eternal and final sovereign and authority over all things. Now, I want you to think about for a minute what that means as he returns to rule in Jerusalem. It means a lot of things. But it means he's the director, and he will be the director of all education. He'll be the chancellor, get this one, of all universities. Does that have any impact on the world? If he's the chancellor of all universities, he'll be the surgeon general of medicine worldwide. Will that help? Just a little bit. He'll be, get this one, he'll be the chief executive of the entire movie industry. Ooh, how about it? He'll be the president of all the media outlets. This is what Christ will be. He'll be the leading physicist and astronomer. Now, if he's a leading physicist and astronomer, will they continue to talk about evolution and that's how the stars all came to be? Or will he acknowledge the fact that he created from the tips of his fingers? He'll be the unchallenged scientific genius of all geniuses, of all minds. I mean, I can go on and on. In other words, he's going to be Lord of Lords, King of all the kings, of all the things that we just take for granted that of course are secular, that of course are godless, of course mean nothing, and suddenly Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Say it with me. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Absolutely. He'll be the King Supreme. Second name I like to talk about today is Prophet. Scripture is very clear about him being the Prophet. He isn't just a prophet. He's the chief prophet of all. Turn me to Acts 3. Acts, the third chapter. Acts 3, and I like to read starting with verse 18. It says in Acts 3:18, But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of the prophets, plural, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus the Christ. And by the way, those three words are the title of this entire series, Jesus the Christ, and that's where it comes from. Appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, I'm in verse 22 of Acts 3 now, the Lord God, here it comes, shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed in everything he says to you. Now, this is Moses prophesying about the prophet, right? And it shall be that every soul that does not heed that prophet, who's that prophet? Yes, you're listening. Okay, Jesus, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people, and likewise all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also announced these days. Look, we're in the days of the prophet Christ Jesus. Matthew 24, the whole chapter is probably the greatest prophecy of any chapter in all the Bible. Now, obviously, Revelation of Jesus Christ has many, many prophecies, very powerful. But Christ condensed it all down into one chapter. If you've never read Matthew 24, let me tell you, you need to read Matthew 24. Jot it down. Matthew 24 is packed. It's the Lord Jesus Christ giving all the prophecies about all that's going to happen in the last days of which you live. There were 300 thereabouts, prophecies fulfilled in the prophet. So when Christ came, right, he fulfilled 300 prophecies in his life. Most of them, the last 3 years of his life, a few of them obviously when he was born. But Christ fulfilled 300 prophecies of the prophet, the Lord Jesus. Number three, servant. Again, we're working our way through 12 names of the Lord Jesus today. Servant. Let's look at Matthew 20:20. Matthew 20:20. Chapter 20, verse 20. And you've heard this scripture before, but I'd like to read it in this context of servant. It says in Matthew 20:20 and onward, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him, capital H, with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, here is Jesus, of course. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you're asking for. Are you able? Now he's turning to the two sons of Zebedee when he says this. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And they said to him, oh, we are able. He said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right hand and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. In hearing this, the ten became indignant of the two brothers. And Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. Not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. I'll read it again. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. You know, this concept is completely alien to this culture. You're aware of this, right? Of being a servant and serving others. I mean, without motivation other than just to serve, no money involved, right? I mean, everything in our culture is saying the opposite. Let me give you a few quotes here, okay? Here we go. L'Oreal, you know, that's all the perfumes and all that stuff. Anyway, because you are worth it is their motto. Walmart's motto is live better. I'm loving it. Where's that from? McDonald's, come on. Right? I'm loving it. Have it your way. Burger King, right? I mean, they're just all into us, right? It's all about us, isn't it? Oh, it's not. The best a man can get, that's Gillette, razors, right? Okay. The wonder of us, that's Coca-Cola. The wonder of us. Stand by you, Budweiser. I mean, everything is about us, right? In the culture. But Christ is saying the opposite here when he talks about being a servant. Let's look at Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. This actually names him. You ready? Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, all in uppercase. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit, capital S, upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. I'm glad, aren't you, that you feel like you're a bruised reed? Well, he's not going to break you off if you're a bruised reed. That's what it means there. A dimly burning wick, that's me again. A dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. In other words, you're going through things, you're going through a hard time. He's not going to put you out, right? He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlines will wait expectantly for his law. So he's the servant. He's God's servant, the Father. But of course, Christ is God. Now, if he's a servant, where does that leave us? To be what? Servants, absolutely. All right. Number four, parable teller. Boy, that's certainly a title of Christ, isn't he? I mean, he told so many parables. There at least, I mean, it's been said there's been between 30 and 38 literal parables in the New Testament that Christ spoke in the Gospels. Parables, over 30, certainly. As a matter of fact, if you put together his sayings where he was alluding to things with the parables, there's between 50 and 70 of those. So there are many, many parables where he was speaking to his disciples in parables. And I have some understanding of this as I speak, because not everybody gets everything. So you speak the word and you put it out there, and somebody comes to you and says, what did you mean by that? And you try to explain it. This is what Christ did with his disciples. I'd like to read, well, there's so many you could read, right? You could read so many of his parables. Let's read at least one from Mark. Mark 4, and I also pick up one from Matthew 13. But let's look at Mark, the fourth chapter. And let's just look at one of these many parables, because there are so many, and there's so much you can say about each one. But Mark 4, starting with verse 30, says these words. And he, that's of course Jesus, and he said, how shall we picture, I'm in Mark 4, verse 30, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? It's like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the ground, yet when it is sown, grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. And with many parables, he was speaking the word to them as they were able to hear it. And he was not explaining to them without parables, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. The parable of the mustard seed. The kingdom of God, it's sown, and you think no big deal, but it grows and grows and grows in your heart and in the life of his church. Matthew 13, let's go over there. Matthew 13. It says in Matthew 13, I'd like to read verse 44. Matthew 13. This is another one of the parables. I love this one. Matthew 13, 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in the field, which a man found and hid. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. In other words, people are not going to understand, why are you so into Christ? Why are you so into the kingdom of heaven? It's hidden. And it's hidden where? In your heart. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. I'm in verse 45 now. And upon finding one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. In other words, if you have found Christ, it's worth everything that you can do to be a light and a witness for him. Everything, not just something. Sell all you have. In other words, give your whole heart to the kingdom of God. Not just part. Give everything you are to the Lord and his word and his will. Pearl of great price. I have a pearl of great price. Say it with me. I have a pearl of great price. And his name is what? Jesus. Absolutely. Fifth name of Christ is the judge. The judge. It says in James 5, 9, the judge is standing right at the door. It says in 1 Peter 4, 5, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. It says in Hebrews 12, 23, I'll give you those references again, by the way. James 5, 9, 1 Peter 4, 5, and Hebrews 12, 23, God the judge of all. Let's turn to John. Let me look at John, the fifth chapter, with you. John 5. Next time somebody thinks they can just say the name of the Lord Jesus vainly, which is all the time, or next time people are just casual about the sweet and loving, innocent and stupid Jesus because he's so gullible, you might want to remember John, the fifth chapter. John 5, verse 22. Says these words, 5:22, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. But he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, hour is coming and now is. Look at this scripture. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself, and gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, but those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Christ is the judge. He even said it wasn't the Father. The Father had given all judgment to the Son. So certainly one of the names of Jesus, the title of Jesus, is the judge. Number six, the writer. You thought, what? The writer? Absolutely. He rode in humility on Palm Sunday, and he's riding soon in great glory at his return. Let's look at Luke. Luke 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 19. Luke 19:33. Luke 19:33. This is the first time Christ rode. Right? Okay. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, that's the disciples, why are you untying the colt? And they said to him, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their garments on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he was going, they were spreading their garments in the road. And as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, in other words, he's coming down the Mount of Olives on this colt, this donkey, with their robes on him, same place he's going to ride into Jerusalem, same route, right? Okay. He was going, and they were spreading their garments in the road, and now as he's approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, there it is, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, saying, blessed is the King. This is, of course, quoting Psalm 118. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees and the multitude said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered and said, I tell you, if these became silent, the stones will cry out. So Christ rode in Jerusalem in humility, but look how he comes in Revelation 19. Familiar scripture to us. I want to read it and read it and read it. Here we go. Revelation 19, starting with verse 11. Revelation 19:11, last book of the Bible, almost the last chapters. 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. And he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him. You on your horse? Or were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The writer. Let's conclude for today. Stand with me, will you? And we're going to say these names that we got to this morning, and we'll have more, Lord willing, if he allows us, next week. King of Kings. Come on. Absolutely. Prophet. Servant. Parable teller. The judge. And finally, the rider on the white horse. Say it with me. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Lord, watch over you.